Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 until 8 o'clock a.m. It is Brother Johnny live today from
Houston.
Yay! Houston, Texas. I had no idea. And from Chicago Hall of Famer Mike Ditka. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. All right, the death of John Mackey, one of the greatest tight ends who carried guys on his back just like Mike Ditka did. Down the field, he had been sick for a while. I think head injury problems. Is that correct, Mike?
Well, I had Alzheimer's, and you could see it coming on over the years. I used to have some golf tournaments and seeing at the Hall of Fame, and little by little, you notice a deterioration and the lack of the ability to remember and things like that. But John was a great football player. He was the nobody ever ran with the football any better than him once he caught it. He was a complete football player. He was the first president of the Players Association. He was very, very strong individual and a hell of a guy, really. He was a good guy. And then, you know, it all went sideways, you know. And you could watch it happening over the years. I mean, like I said, I watched it. And his wife, Sylvia, you know, God bless her, because it was hard. And the NFL finally came up with the 88 plan, which donated, you know, or gave $88,000 to these guys who were suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's and for care, and there's some money for care also. So it was a great thing. They named it in honor of John, and rightfully so, you know. And the award in the country and college is also the Mackey Award. So, I mean, I know John from Syracuse. I played against him at Syracuse when I was a senior. He's a couple years behind me. I'll tell you what he was like, and I guess the best way I can explain it. He was like Jim Brown playing tight end. That's the best way I can explain it.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I used to watch. Yeah, he was fun to watch. John Mackey.
You guys there?
Yeah.
You here?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. I
hear you, Steve.
He used to carry guys down. He'd take the pass from Earl Morrill or Johnny Unitas. He used to just haul that thing. Hard to bring down. A great, legendary player. And Mike, you have many video clips just like that. I mean, the same kind of toughness, but again, a great man. And I think there's suspicion there that maybe some of the trauma in the head that could have.
I don't think it's a suspicion, Steve. I mean, you can call it anything you want to, but it's definite. You have enough trauma, and I don't think it affects everybody the same way. I'm not an expert, and I don't profess to be an expert, but I think it affects some people a lot more severely than other people. And when you have concussions or you have trauma to the head and the brain is shaken, I think it affects different people different ways. You look at the number of football players, former football players, old guys who are suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia. Almost every center, Tinglehoff, Ringo, all those guys are you know, and what? Why? Because the guy over the center hit him in the head with a forearm. I mean, it's simple things like that. Mike Webster, you go on and on and think, you know, I've had concussions, and I don't know what the ramifications will be later on. I mean, this is already later on, but, I mean, some people, I think it affects differently. I don't think it affects everybody the same way, but for them to come out and say or think that concussions have nothing to do with this, they're crazy.
Well, Mike, you're sounding pretty sharp to me.
Really?
Pretty sharp.
Me too. Me too. Hey, all right. We're going to run an interview that I conducted earlier this morning with Senator Jim DeMint from South Carolina, who's written a new book. And I asked him if he was optimistic about some sort of debt limit ceiling deal that could be down the way.
No, I'm not. I really do think the president is gaming us. He has been burning the clock here, kicking the can down the road. This whole Biden task force that was secret negotiations was just running the clock out so we could create a crisis on August the 2nd. Frankly, we're never going to default if we don't raise this debt limit. It certainly could cause some disruption, but there's enough assets in Social Security and Medicare trust funds to keep those programs going for a long time so seniors don't have to worry. What Republicans need to do is use this point in time we can pass an increase in the debt limit, but only if we get some real cuts in spending and if we get a balanced budget amendment that we can send to the states to ratify.
And he essentially said we're playing a little class warfare here, and I don't know what's going to happen, Johnny, but I think it's a time to hold the line on this, isn't it?
Well, like you said, I doubt we're going to default until something happens that nobody foresees, and I don't know what that is. But yeah, you got to hold the line at some point, and I don't know when you. I don't know what better time there is. I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to do the right thing, but I'm hoping I'm wrong. I just don't have a lot of confidence in our leadership right now. But it's nice hearing a guy like that seems to have a little bit of a reality check, so let's see what happens. But serious financial issues with no real discipline, or it doesn't seem, Mike, to me that there's any real serious concern from a lot of the leaders.
Well, here's the thing. It's a blame game, guys. If they don't raise a debt ceiling, then it'll be blamed on the Republicans totally that they're destroying the country because they're holding back. They want to make all these cuts to this, that, that, and this. They want to take money out of poor people's mouth or food out of poor people's mouth. And same thing. I turned on Fox this morning, and, you get tired of it after a while. He inherited this. And he's doing the best he can. So that's what people think, that he inherited this, yeah. And he's doing the best he can. Well, God bless those people. But they're not very smart. I mean, this is idiotic. To keep protecting a guy that has no leadership qualities, period. And I don't care about anything else. He could be the greatest guy in the world. I'm sure he is. A positive guy. A guy to be around, play golf with, fine. But you got to be a leader, man. You're the leader of the free world. Stand up. Be accountable. Make a decision.
If you think he inherited a mess, wait till you see the mess the next guy gets.
Oh, boy. Well, but, no. It's going to go on for history. It'll be B-I-O-B. Blame it on Bush. Yeah. Blame it on Bush. Yeah. You got to stop blaming on Bush. Stop blaming on Obama.
It's time to try to do something about it, and that's worries me. I think Mike's right. I think that.
I'm not. I don't want to. I'm just saying. Come on. Let's fight fair. Just let it go as it is. Is the situation? Are we better off now than we were before? I don't know. But I'm not. I'm not saying that everything George Bush did was right or wrong. I'm not saying everything Barack Obama did was right or wrong. All I'm just saying, let's stop this stuff. Let's stop the blame game. Let's start pointing the finger. Let's start working together. This is not about Democrats and Republicans. It's about Americans. And if we don't understand that, we're crazy. We can't give in. If we give in, we're going to look weak. And if we do that, listen, you got to do what's right for the country. Forget your party.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM 742. All right, Casey Anthony, this thing has captivated the country. That's what everybody's talking about. A woman who was on trial for the murder of her daughter. She was found not guilty of all the charges on the death of her daughter. She was found guilty of lying to investigators and policemen and police officers. And so she, with time served, will be out of jail a week from Sunday. A lot of outrage here. A little girl was duct taped and killed and bagged, and there's really nobody going to pay for that.
Well, I don't understand. I don't understand the jury. How can they acquit her on all the charges, also then convict her on lying? What'd she lie about? She lied about one thing. She lied. She said she didn't kill the girl, and she did. That's common sense. I don't care how you look at it. But, there's not enough evidence. Listen, it's fine. Whatever the jury decides or whatever our judicial system thinks is right, the woman's guilty of either murder or she's an accessory to murder. So, come on. The little girl was the cutest little girl I've seen in a long time. I'm wound up this morning. I don't know. I had two cups of coffee, I guess. But anyway, all I'm saying is, hey, if this is what our justice system is, then fine. This is what it is. It's set up to protect the innocent and to punish the guilty. Well, I don't know who could be more guilty.
Well, I think it's interesting. Captivate's a good word too, Steve, because if you're in the habit of watching the news, you are trapped into watching that because that's it. That's all the news has been. But I've got to say, that adage, Mike, old adage I often use about golf, where you win or lose on the first tee box because you decide who gets what strokes. There's a lot of truth to that. And I think that's really the bottom line here. There was no chance of convicting her on murder one, based on the rules. If you follow the rules, which because they couldn't even prove the cause of death, and that was just simply kind of what I see, Stevie, in my engineering business, where a large group gets together and decides to eliminate the right answer off the. Right off the bat, we're not going to do this. It's not in the set of possibilities. Now let's go to work. By definition, everything you do is wrong. The prosecution had no shot of getting murder one. They could have got about anything else. And the what's captivating is I think just about everybody is 100% sure from their gut that she's guilty. But
well, let me ask you guys one question because I understand this now. You know, all the money that cost the state and all this and all that, now they're going to come after her for the money? I mean, do I understand that correctly? I mean, how is that possible? They're the ones that made the decision to try her. I mean, how can they come after an individual who's been acquitted, actually acquitted, and say that she's responsible for the money for the child?
I think
they're talking about. I mean,
I think they were talking about the search for the child, wasn't it, Steve?
Well, it was all the costs because her lying led to all the investigation. Right, led to
the
investigation. If she had not lied, then they wouldn't have gone to all the expense and time to search, to investigate, to question, to travel, to figure all of it out based on her contention that somebody kidnapped her, did all these other things.
So I see. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not very smart about that stuff, but I mean, I find it hard to believe.
Well, I think it's an interesting case, and it's interesting just to hear about some of the guidelines and some of the rules these jurors had. I don't know what I would have done. I didn't pay that much attention to it, but I think that the consensus is the prosecutor right off the bat went for too much based on what he had, and that's all they could determine. They had to use, okay, is that proven to me beyond a shadow of a doubt, because, you know, she might get the death penalty, and they couldn't do that in clear conscience, even though many of the jurors did think she was guilty. So it's an interesting case.
Well,
and,
very, very similar to the O.J. feeling that, you know, somebody got off with something. If she didn't plan it, if something happened where she was responsible for the death of that child, I think most would say there's no question about that.
And there is manslaughter, or there's negligent homicide, and I think there's other levels that she might have got 5 or 10 years. She did serve 3 years, okay? Because she's been in jail for 3 years.
Right.
So something. But, what the story to me is how everybody's revved up about it.
That's right.
There's a lot of injustice in this world. Unfortunately, that's just one story.
Well, and I said the other day, and not to get off on a tangent, but I said that a woman who has a partial birth abortion is celebrated as choice, and a woman who has, at the same point of trimester, has a baby in a bathroom and throws it in a dumpster is the devil. And it's just a hypocritical kind of a stance we have in this world on that level of life. And I think that, you know, this 2-year-old and the pictures we've seen of her and all that the country went through with the searches, they had T-shirts with her face on it. Everybody was in on this thing. And then to find out she was just down the street, probably carried in the trunk of her car. I mean, it's outrageous. And then to see this woman in court looking as homely as you can look. And then yesterday, as I said, it looked like the Wizard of Oz from black and white to color. She's got a blue sweater. She looks attractive. It's just a setup. I mean, the defense did a great job, really.
Yeah, well, but guys, just think about this. I'd like to be her next date.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, I'll tell you something. And there was one guy was out there with the sign saying, "Marry me, Casey," you know.
Well, they're going to...
That guy, you know, he just got out of home.
What about the money? I mean, reality, TV, books. I mean, who knows the offer she's going to get? She's going to get them.
I'll tell you one thing, and you know, I've had my fill of it. So if you're talking about it, they can make any money off of me watching anything or reading anything about that lady, they're crazy. Now, I'm only one. Now, there might be millions who want to, who get wrapped up in that garbage, but not me.
Yep.
They couldn't. I wouldn't watch one reality show about that. Nothing. And anything she was on, I would shun away from. But that's only me. We got a lot of other wackos out there who would watch it.
Well, it's just like watching a train wreck. I was almost late coming to work this morning because I'm going northbound on 290 out to Austin, and there's this big grain truck accident. But guess what? That's in the other lane. and everybody has to stop and watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I can't drive. There's an accident.
Yeah, right.
I can't drive.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop and look what's happening to them. And that's kind of where people are.
It is. It's true. It's very interesting sociological phenomena how all this works, because there are other horrific cases out there. This one captivated and grabbed hold somehow because people just were mesmerized by the thing. And last week, it's been crazy. We're going to take our break and be right back. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 7:30 to 8 each Monday and Friday as we discuss the news of the day. We'll be right back. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Stevie J. Good to have you listening here this morning. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka on, as always. Johnny, you watched Titanic the other day?
It came on the television. And that was, if you remember, that movie grossed almost $2 billion.
$2 billion?
And I was out I think 10 weeks. I wanted to see it, but I was gonna wait till you couldn't hardly get in. When I went 10 weeks after it was released, and it was absolutely sold out, packed. We got in and it was every seat full. And that movie, the Titanic.
Movie Titanic came out in the '90s.
Oh, yeah. It was, what year was that?
It was 97.
Wow. Now, time flies when you're having fun, but Leonardo did look pretty young. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, right.
No, I thought that, it's always, it's intriguing. I did think something, Steve.
Yeah.
I think they might have, if that Titanic went down nose first, then came way up and broke in two, and it went down in 2 hours and 20 minutes. I was thinking if they'd have thought of putting a hole in the stern where it would have sunk evenly, they might have got themselves a couple, 3 hours. And also, maybe some more people could have got out, because once it started getting it down nose first, it was a real fiasco. But really, the movie depicted an incredible historic event. And I always like to try to think of, wow, now you already hit the iceberg. What do you do? Because you're in a bind. There's 2,200 people on that boat. And there's got lifeboats for about 900.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's a reason we have enough lifeboats today because of the Titanic.
Right. They just didn't think it could sink, so they didn't put enough on.
And had they just hit the iceberg head on, without, obviously you want to try and avoid it, but had they gone straight at it, it wouldn't have sunk, right?
No. Wouldn't have. It kind of sliced the boat back far enough to where the unsinkable part of it was actually not valid anymore, but Steve.
Johnny, the engineer, Mike, trying to figure out if they'd have put another hole in it.
It had sunk evenly.
It had just sunk gradually, evenly, not point down. So
I'll tell you what else happened with that movie, and maybe it's just I didn't know about it. To me, Celine Dion became a huge name from that movie with that song, the theme song.
Yeah.
And she was already, but that was it. And that song was all over the place. But a little nostalgia.
Engineering here for Johnny, Mike. All right, finally, the NFL, Mike, they're hoping to get a labor deal done maybe today?
I think, and I said this a week ago, if you guys listen, I said within the next 10 days they'll have a deal. And I think they understand, you know, it's one thing to take a position and hold that position, but you got to understand now, if you're going to have a football season, you got to get it going, and you got to get it going within the next week and a half, I believe. And I think they will.
Well, I think you're right, because
training camp's supposed to start in 2 weeks, right?
Well, the whole thing is, everybody talks about, they haven't, they're really, the coaches and the players know what's going on. So they can pick it up and run from here. But you want to get through a training camp. You don't want to try to play a football season without a training camp. And let me say one other thing. And I see all these guys working out on their own. I think that's terrific. It's not the same as being put through an off-season conditioning program. Believe me, it's not the same.
Well, I hope they get it done, because we need the NFL for a lot of reasons, and obviously all the jobs, all the economy things that go along with it, the economic things. Well, guys, I appreciate your time as always. Always appreciative of your energy, and Mike, great coffee this morning. We loved you.
Hey, go get them, Tiger.
Mike,
all right, take care. God bless you.
God bless you. Talk to you soon.
See you later.
Thank you so much, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. We discuss everything under the sun, as we always do, and we'll be back again on Monday to catch up with the latest over the weekend.